Psalm 139. The Word of God says in Psalm 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So here that Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we know that Genesis teaches that man was made in God's image, and then Adam was created out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. Adam fell, and then he had children in his image, which was the fallen state. But again, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Read that verse one more time. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I was witnessing to a guy, hand a guy a track up in Greenville the other day, and he said, no, I'm good. He wouldn't take it. And I said, you sure about that? And he said, yeah, I'm a pagan. I said, really? He said, yeah, I'm a pagan shaman. I said, really? I said, well, could you explain what that is? And he said, well, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. And I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. You won't believe I'm God. You could not make this stuff up. And I said, well, I do believe the Bible. And I said, I do believe you're going to go to heaven or hell. And he goes, well, I believe that everything's God. And we shouldn't take a life, whether it's an ant or a, you know, this is some Hindu thing. Or, you know, he's mixing everything together and throwing Christianity out. But he said, I believe, and I'm thinking, you're about 60 pounds overweight. You know how many extra bugs you're killing? No, I didn't say that. So, for the bug's sake, you know, but I was just joking with him. I didn't say that to him. I was joking around with him a little bit. And I said, you know, I said, if that Bible's true, you're going to heaven or hell. I said, the Bible's true. And I never told him I was a pastor. I didn't mention a Baptist or anything. And this is what he said. He said, well, I used to be a Baptist, but... And I thought, I don't know how many times I've heard that. I don't know why Baptists get upset so easily. And then they leave. But this guy went totally the other direction. And, you know, all these churches out there that don't have names on them anymore, that believe all this different stuff, the vast majority of them used to be a Baptist. I mean, I talk to them all the time. I bet 60, 70% of the people I talk to that either went to church and quit or they go to a new rock and roll church or whatever used to be a Baptist. Yeah, but I couldn't believe that. I was talking to him for a while, you know, and I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, I'm not trying to argue with you. I just want your opinion. I want to know how you think. I want to know what you believe. I'm a pastor of a church, and I don't understand what you're telling me. So you tell me, in your opinion, how this all got here. And he said, well, it was all here. He goes, how does anything that man does get here? And I said, well, man makes stuff out of stuff that's already here. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, do you believe that we come from monkeys and a big bang? And he said, probably. And I said, you know, a lot of scientists don't even believe that. He said, well, maybe we come from aliens. I don't know how many times I've heard that. I said, okay, well, where do aliens come from? I said, look, either everything come from nothing, everything always existed, or God did it. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And if you have another way that it happened, you tell me what it is. And he said, well, no. He goes, maybe, you know, maybe we come from aliens. Or I said, no, look, the aliens had to come from somewhere. Or the aliens are your God and they always existed. Or matter is your God and it always existed. But my God created everything. So we talked for a little bit while longer. And he went down the road of, you know, different things he believed. And He believed in peace, and he believed people shouldn't hurt each other. And then he started saying, the more we talked, the more he contradicted what he said he believed. Because he started talking about his wife and her being hard to live with. And he said, you know, if I told her once, you ever hit me, and it's on. I'm thinking, well, you don't even want to kill a bug, but you're ready to knock your wife out? Well, that's not very shaman of you. So, I mean, it's just kind of craziness. But if people are looking for an excuse, and I've said it before, and we'll say it again tonight, Genesis 1:1 is the most attacked verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And, you know, will man come from monkeys and all this baloney? And the funny thing is, when we ended up talking out in that parking lot, we talked for about 20, 30 minutes, probably 20 anyway. And I said, look, I said, when you went to the Baptist church, and his sister was with him and her little girl in the car, And she was just believing whatever he believed. I said, look, when you went to the Baptist church, was there ever a time that you could have looked at me and said, I've been born again? He said, oh, I was baptized and everything. I said, I'm not talking about being baptized. Is there ever a time you could look back when you were a Baptist and you realized you were a sinner and you realized you deserved to go to hell and you realized Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and you believe he shed his blood for you and you call him and ask him to forgive you and save you? And he goes, well, yeah, I could have told you that. I said, well, I got good news for you. If that's the truth, you're going to heaven, whether you like it or not. And I started quoting Bible verses to him, and I got to Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. And he said, well, I can't mess up too bad then, can I? And I said, well, if you're saved, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to stand before Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, and stand give account for your life. So, but anyway, we left on pretty good terms, and I was quoting verses, and he was shaking his head, affirmative. So, you know, these people really just try to get away from the Bible. I know I don't believe hardly any of them don't believe it. I believe probably they all do. That's the reason they hate it so much. But it's just interesting. And then, you know, he started talking about science and science this and science that and science the other. And I said, well, you're talking about false science. I'm talking about real science. Because real science, the Bible backs real science. You know. But I wanted to talk about a couple things been on my mind, on my heart today and a few days back even. And we'll talk about this fearfully and wonderfully made thing. And there is no way, there is absolutely no way, 1 × 10 the gazillionth power, there ain't not even that chance that everything come into being by accident. And you could take that even further to say the human body come into existence by that. There's no way. It's impossible. You know, I get these people all the time, well, if you had the education I have, and I'm like, I got almost 6 bachelor's degrees worth of education. I don't believe anything you're telling me. I didn't believe half what they told me. Amen. I mean, I like I said, I counted all but dung. That man education, there's very little of it worth hardly anything. But Psalm 139:14, oops, says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to talk to you a couple times tonight about a couple things about the immune system. Now, first of all, this will get this off my chest because I got a little bit of this medical stuff that's always wanting to come out. But this will help you out. It'll help you understand a few things. But more importantly, I mean, coming in this cold flu season and everything that's going on, the China virus, whatever is going on, it could help you out, but I really want you to look at this so increase your faith. Because everybody's always talking about false science. And everybody's always throwing up the Big Bang, or we're seeded by aliens, or this, or that, or the other, or we come from monkeys. They have no evidence for that. I'm going to show you some things we do have evidence of. When you're looking at an immune system, let's do it this way. I'm going to start with a blood vessel. You got a blood vessel. This thing, let's say it branches off into smaller vessels out here in the tissue or whatever. So you got a blood vessel. Let's call these, let's just say these are capillaries. Little blood vessels at the end of your fingers and stuff. Here's the vessel. Now when you get an external problem like a virus or a bacteria or an injury, whether it's a knife cut, a gunshot, you get hit with a rock or whatever, and you get tissue damaged. You have in your tissue, you have these little cells called macrophages, these little white blood cells called macrophages. And what they do is they eat up damaged tissue. They also cause an inflammatory response. And that inflammatory response has to do with healing. So that macrophage that's in the tissue, and then you have other things called monocytes that are in the blood. They're white blood cells, but they're in the blood. So this macrophage says, hey, you got an injury here. So it starts putting out these chemicals. And I know you all have heard this name, cytokines. Remember hearing about the cytokine storm when you heard about the coronavirus? Start hearing about the cytokine storm? Well, here's what this does. This macrophage in the tissue releases these chemicals that increase the ability for things to go in and out of the blood vessel, permeability, and they increase inflammation. Okay, so the guy that evolved into this, if he didn't have this, he would have never made it. He would have never made it to maturity to reproduce if he wouldn't have had this. Because these things had to be in place. There had to be an intelligent designer. There had to be the creator to put this stuff in place. So the thing about inflammation, when you get a virus or a bacteria or an injury, primarily because of our diet, we get too much inflammation. So you remember, they kept saying, well, people that were at highest risk were people that were grossly overweight and people that had really bad health issues. Well, they had really bad health issues, and they had this chronic inflammation stuff that was going on. And what was happening, and what does happen, is you get the bronchial tubes where you're breathing in. They start getting inflamed. You got these, you got inflammation. And you start getting bronchitis and water in the lungs, all that junk. So, fluid buildup. So what happened was, I don't know if you remember this, and I'm not trying to get into politics, I'm just trying to tell you what happened. You remember they kept saying, don't take ibuprofen, don't take ibuprofen, don't take ibuprofen. Well, the whole time they were saying that, there were studies showing that you were like 50 times less likely to end up in the hospital if you took the ibuprofen. Well, the reason is, that ibuprofen is what they call a COX-2 inhibitor. That's an enzyme that drives inflammation. So you've got a hormone, we'll just call it a hormone, I'll make this real simple, that's trying to make inflammation. It has to have this COX-2 enzyme. It also has a LOX enzyme. We're not going to get into that, because this drives inflammation. So ibuprofen comes along, and it blocks this, so the inflammation stops. It cuts it down. That's why the people that were taking the ibuprofen early weren't getting as sick, and they weren't having the mortality rate, the death rate of the other people. And even people that were in horrible health. So you can see right now, God didn't make this one. This one here will mess you up. You can't live on that stuff. Yeah. I'm not sure on all the effects of ivermectin, but yeah, it has anti-inflammatory properties, the way I understand it too, but I'm not sure how the mechanism of its work. It could work on something different, but the ibuprofen would stop that cytokine storm. Let me tell you why the cytokine storm happened. Because we have, and believe me, I'm not just trying to have a science class here. I'm trying to show you how good God is and what he did. So we have omega 6 and omega 3 fatty acids. Plus, you'll believe me, and I can tell you, you'll really believe I went to school when we get done. You think I've been lying to you for 5 years? Because the way I talk, my English is not that good, but I do know a little bit about this stuff. But omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids, what they do, omega-6, for the most part, increases inflammation. Omega-3 decreases and helps regulate inflammation so it doesn't get out of hand. I'm going to make this, we're going to drive down this roller coaster path to something very simple here in just a second. So the omega-6 and omega-3, omega-6 and omega-3 is supposed to be in about a 3-to-6-to-1 ratio. So there should be about 3 times to 6 times as much omega-6, because your body has to have an inflammatory response to heal. But it has to be low so this can control it. The American diet, from the studies that I've always studied and from what I've heard, and recently even, is 40 or 60 to 1. So when you get an inflammatory response, it just goes off the charts. I mean, you can get an ingrown toenail and it just mess your world up because of your diet. And the omega-3s are like alpha linoleic acid, flaxseed, and I'll just name a couple foods that are real good, like olive oil, avocados, and some nuts. But what's really driving up this omega-6 is vegetable oils. Almost everything you eat is cooked in vegetable oils or has vegetable oils in it. And then you have the high fructose corn syrup, which is even more, that's a different inflammatory situation there. It even makes it worse. But the vegetable oils are cheap, and a lot of them are more heat stable than the good oils, so they can cook potato chips and stuff like that in them, and it's cheap for them. It saves them millions of dollars a year for the Lay's company and all that stuff. But our diet is so trashy that we end up with a 40 or 50 or 60 to 1 omega-6 over omega-3. Okay, you end up with the ibuprofen. The ibuprofen will put that in range for a while. But here's the problem. If you're eating all this stuff and it's driving this omega-6 up, you can't eat enough of this to put that back in range. You can't do it. You can't take enough natural stuff. You've got to stop this. You've got to stop the influx of the vegetable oil and increase this. And I don't want to get into a long thing on how it works, but these are fats that end up in the cell, and they trigger the response of either inflammation or decreased inflammation. So it might take 30 days of just getting rid of these and doing pretty much nothing but these to get it back where it needs to be, because the cell turnover rate's about 28 days. But what I'm telling you is, there's no way this is an accident. You know where you get this stuff? This stuff comes from food. The healthy stuff all comes from non-processed food. This comes from man. Ain't nobody ever, before the industrial age, nobody ever had a bottle of corn oil. They never did. They had corn. And they had wheat, and they had different things like that. That's another problem with the bread. When you get processed grains, like white bread, if you get wheat bread, it's worse on your blood sugar. If you get white bread, it's worse on your overall health, because they process the good fats out, and they leave all the inflammatory stuff in, so it makes it worse for you. So, man, that looks like, I don't know what happened up there, but I started out with a good idea, I thought. But anyway, there's just absolutely no way this could be a mistake. Talk about one more thing real quick. Phytonutrients. Anybody heard of them? No, it's from different fruits and vegetables. You ever heard of Eat the Rainbow? Different colors of food? Not the Skittles. No, stay away from that rainbow. So you got like blueberries, blackberries, cherries, and strawberries, and different vegetables like different colored peppers. Different colors. So the different colors have different phytonutrients in them, and they do different things. I don't know how to bring this down to where you can understand it without using kinase. There's a pathway that's called a kinase pathway that these work on, that not only help regulate inflammation, but they relieve oxidative stress. What oxidative stress is what makes your car rust. So you get that inside and you start rusting. not really rust, but what it is when your immune system attacks a virus or attacks a bacteria or attacks something, especially when this inflammatory state is out of control, your immune system causes so much damage that the damage is causing more damage. So you've got bits and pieces of junk out there that are causing more damage. These fellas can't keep up with it. And these fellas are also releasing chemicals that are trying to increase it because everything's out of whack. But the phytonutrients help try to bring that back into, even if you're having a really bad inflammation process, the phytonutrients help the collateral damage from the process. That's why everybody's always pushing, you know, eat the different colors of fruit and vegetables. So basically, if you can decrease your corn oil to minimal, I mean very minimal, and you can increase your alpha-linolenic acid and flaxseed oil and olive oil and avocados, stuff like that, you can bring this back into balance so when you do get sick, which everybody's going to get sick because we're in a sin-cursed world, you just can't stay ahead of it forever. It won't be as bad, you know, unless you're sick unto death, which we all end up there or raptured hopefully soon. But does that make sense? So basically, to cut this all down to and put it in a nutshell, decrease vegetable oils, increase these alpha-linolenic, olive oil, nuts, flax, avocados, and you can bring your inflammatory process back into a state where it can be regulated, because right now you can't regulate it. You can't take enough natural stuff when it's in out of control to put it back in control, because the natural stuff won't do this. It won't stop that COX-2 inhibitor. It won't be a COX-2 inhibitor like ibuprofen will. But because ibuprofen does that, it has a lot of harmful side effects long term. That's why I tell people, I always told people in my practice, if you take ibuprofen, take it in small doses early. That way you're not taking 800 milligrams of it for 2 weeks, but take 200 to 400 milligrams of it every 6 hours for a few days, especially if you start feeling tightness in your chest, because that'll stop that cytokine storm and stop the inflammation and the edema, the fluid buildup. One other thing we do get into with chronic inflammation that causes a lot of problems is the blood vessels start losing their elasticity and they start building up junk inside so they can't work like they're supposed to. Because we talk about these macrophages being out in the tissue. These monocytes are white blood cells that are trying to get out to get to the tissue to repair things. But when you get buildup in here, atherosclerosis, stuff build up in here, that changes all the permeability. That stuff can't get in and out like it's supposed to. And also, there's a thing called nitric oxide, not nitrous oxide, but nitric oxide. Mike takes it, right? What's he take for heart? I just lost the word. It's nitroglycerin pills. So nitroglycerin pills, what they do is they turn loose this nitric oxide. Nitric oxide makes all the peripheral blood vessels relax to drop your blood pressure, and it also makes them relax around your heart so you get more blood flow. So when the heart starts closing down the blood vessels, he takes that. That nitric oxide makes them relax. It works on a calcium channel. It makes the calcium make the muscle relax. Calcium, that's why a lot of people say take calcium and magnesium for blood pressure. That's true, but you have to have the nitric oxide, which comes from beets and dark green vegetables and stuff like that. What do Americans eat? Meat, potatoes, and corn oil. That's it. I mean, we eat very, very little of this stuff as a nation. Very little. And, you know, if somebody gets a bag of Cheetos and a box of Ho-Hos and a box of blueberries, guess which one they're going to end up throwing away? The blueberries. Yeah, amen. 5 days later when they figured out they got blueberries and they were so stuck on the Ho-Hos and the Cheetos they forgot about them, then they throw them away. Plus the blueberries, if you make a shake or something and you're using blueberries, it should be drank immediately because it starts to oxidize itself and then it doesn't have the properties that your body needs to antioxidize. But anyway, I know this is kind of crazy and off of our general course, but I just wanted to tell you that God knows what he's doing. I mean, this is just amazing. There is no way. I talked to people when I went to school, very few of them, but a lot of them were like, oh, we don't believe in God. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. I mean, outside of the tiny little horses that grew from the thimble size to the size they are now in biology that allegedly existed, almost everything I learned in biochemistry and biology and physiology made me believe the Bible even more. There's no way. I mean, you got to have serious brain damage to believe we come from nothing or we come from monkeys. I mean, seriously. And it's not just spiritual either. Some people, they just got to have some serious problems to believe that. Especially if you have this kind of information. Good night. But, so bottom line, if you can take ibuprofen and you do get these things, now sometimes you can't take them, but if you do get this stuff and you do start feeling a little bit of chest congestion, like it's tightening up, getting burning, that'll slow that down or stop it. And there's a lot of stuff we can get into on membrane permeability and stuff like that that happens with calcium. Calcium's a good thing to take. Calcium, that's another thing we don't get enough of is trace minerals, calcium, magnesium, manganese, and stuff like that, because we don't eat a lot of this stuff, and we don't eat a lot of root vegetables. Root vegetables where all that stuff comes from. So the closer you eat to the way God made it, the less of this problem you're going to have. But this stuff is toxic. Vegetable oil, high fructose corn syrup, vegetable oil, and it don't matter what vegetable oil, the safflower oil, whatever it is, the cheapest stuff they can use, they use, and it drives this number up. And it makes it impossible for your body to keep the inflammation in check. That's when you have to call this in and say, hey, get me out of a mess. But it's a tow truck. It puts you right back on the same muddy road. You're going to end up in the same ditch doing the same thing over and over and over again until this gets fixed. All right. Y'all going to vote me out tomorrow. I'm going to go, that guy's nuts. Anybody have any questions? Brother? Yeah, and if you get to slime cooking on a rock and a single-celled organism, the possibility of that single-celled organism coming into existence without a creator is beyond your imagination. That's a single-celled organism. And then you take a single-celled organism and try to turn it into a multi-million-cell organism like a human being? That's impossible. Another interesting thing is a lot of diseases... I tell you, I think the devil's behind a lot of this genetic stuff, the DNA and RNA stuff. Because DNA and RNA, or let's just look at DNA. Your DNA can be turned on and turned off in different places. That's how your body makes different proteins. So there are a lot of times where somebody will have a disease and they'll go, well, you're genetically prone to it. So they'll test everybody they know, everybody they're related to, and they'll go, well, you're all genetically prone to it or whatever. Well, here's the thing. There might be 75 people that have that gene that says you're genetically prone to it, but only two or three of them are actually expressing it. So there are things that they call triggers or outside influences that make that gene be expressed. That's where we can't figure it out. We can go, that gene's probably causing this, but we don't know what we think we know. We really don't. We can't get there. We're not God. But the genetic expression is contingent upon outside forces, proteins and different hormones and different things that affect the DNA to make something start up and build this protein, build that protein. And that's another thing. DNA itself, just the protein building itself, to take a cell that's injured and for it to split, produce, and create other cells, ain't no way that happened on its own. It's just too many complex things going on. You look at the mitochondria of a cell, which is the energy-producing thing of a cell, there are so many things going on in that thing you can't even see it. There are more things going on in that thing than there are in Eaton, Ohio, in a day, every second. There's more going on in that mitochondria. Brother? Follow what? Nitro? No, I'm good on that. But yeah, that's what it is. That's what it does. It's nitric acid. That's another thing. Without nitric acid, your body can't heal. You can't exist without it. Nitric oxide. Yeah? Well, if she needs it, she can take it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, well, praise the Lord. I hope he raptures us out here. You never need that. Soon. But anyway, I just made a big mess on this board. I probably should have been more structured, but it's just, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, scientists have spent hundreds and hundreds of years to figure out what little we know, and there's so much more we don't know, obviously, than what we do know. Brother? Yeah, I don't know for sure what's going on with that. There usually is a doxylamine or something or another, phenyldoxylamine. I don't know. There's some different phenyldoxyl succinate. I don't know. There's so many different things in Benadryls and Benadryl-type substances out there, and some of them are causing a lot of problems. All that stuff causes a problem. Anything that man-made causes a problem somewhere in this cycle. There's cycles in here that are so complex and complicated that there are natural things out there that work. They don't work as fast because working fast is not good. But sometimes working fast is imperative. You've got to have it. But you don't have to have it if this is right. If you're alpha, omega 6 and omega 3s, they're about 3 to 6 or about 3 to 1. There's very little chance you're going to need that. Very little chance you're going to need that. Another thing is, you want to talk about something man really messed up, is gluten. Genetically modified gluten is causing GI, gastrointestinal permeability, where your leaky gut, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, all that stuff is, a lot of it's related to genetically modified gluten. Your body stops. There's a thing in the intestines called tight junctures where it just lets certain things through at certain times. Your body just starts opening them up after a while because it's got full protein. It's not supposed to have full, complete proteins in there. Supposed to have amino acids by the time it gets down there. And some of these proteins won't digest right because they're genetically modified, and they get down there and they're opening the gates and letting stuff, toxins and stuff, in your blood system instead of taking it out through the expiratory, through the restroom. So it's just a mess. So genetically modified foods is a problem. There are countries out there that won't even allow them in their country. And they're usually countries that are supposedly not as advanced as us. But they might not be as advanced in school book knowledge, but they've got some more common sense than some of them. Anyways, anybody have a question, comment, tomato to throw, anything? Robert's laughing. You got a tomato. You got a green tomato. Anyway, that's in a nutshell. Our diet's really bad. And it's not the way God intended it. Till the rapture? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I hope the Lord calls us out here before we have to worry about this again. But anyway, this is just something different. We might look at one more thing of this some other time. You probably don't want to see this anyway. If you have any questions on this, I'll be glad to put it in a format where you can understand it better, because I wrote it all over out of place and everything. But I just wanted to talk about it a little bit, because there's no way this stuff accidentally happened. And believe me, this is an abbreviated version of what I had to learn. And it got so deep that I could only go so far with it. And there are a lot of people out there a lot smarter than me can take it a lot further than I can, but that was abbreviated. I mean, we could have spent 2 hours on monocytes and not even scratched the surface of their chemical reactions and stuff. But there's no way it's an accident. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. When you get a cut on your skin and you're healthy, the reason it's able to close up is because intercellular communication, those cells are touching each other and they're communicating with each other. When that cut happens, it opens up and the cells are apart. So the cell starts dividing and filling in that gap to close it. Now that's some fancy evolution, isn't it? I mean, honestly, people would have just been running around for billions and billions of years with open wounds until that developed. That didn't even make sense. I mean, God made it. He made us perfect. And we messed it up with sin. But there's no way this is an accident. There's no way that Bible's not true. Period. No way. There's no way Genesis 1:1 is not true. There's no way Genesis 2:7 is not true. And there's no way Psalm 139:14, fearfully and wonderfully made, is not true. Anyway, that's it for tonight.